as a family, we are so grateful. We started, last year I spoke, most of you may not remember this one, and this is my habit, I always ask people, what did I preach last year? You know, I have the audacity to ask 365 days later, what verse did I choose last year? I chose Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm not going to speak from that, but I'll just read. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know His love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. And that has been our testimony at home. God provided for us abundantly. And we felt, Alice, my wife, was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder. And God has been giving us grace, and she's alive even today. And our children, my son, God willing, will graduate in May. And our daughter is in college. We were thinking, how are we going to send our daughter to college? Because I was just finishing my college. When you are in God's field, He takes care of it. And the biggest, you know, all are big, very big blessings. One of the biggest blessings is you all. You know, for the gospel's sake, I left my immediate family. Father, mother, my three brothers and a sister. You know how many brothers and how many sisters I have? Not just in Dallas, Fort Worth. I have brothers and sisters all over the world. Anywhere I go, there are brothers and sisters. And God willing, we will step down from my pastorate in April. And God has given us an amazing pastor for the church. I will introduce him at the end of the service. Now we will go for the new year word. You know, I was praying last 1 week, Lord, what should I speak? Because, you know, I have spoken in home groups and church most of the important messages that I felt was important. But God was prompting me to two particular verses. One I'm going to speak tomorrow, and one I'm going to speak today. But I'd like to give you a few illustrations. Whenever I go to India, even before I land in the airport, people just come running. And at the end, you know, when I go to the door, I will see so many people who, you know, I don't want them to be in the airport. A lot of them will come, you know, bring me to the place, and I cannot sleep for a week because telephone will be just ringing, and so many people will be visiting with me, and my family would get fed up because so many people are coming. And I always ask, are these people really, you know, in love with me? Do they come to see me or something else? And I get telephone calls every week from India, Sri Lanka, Nepal. Ask the question, do they call me because they love me? A lot of time they call me not because they love me, because they are in need. So their call is self-motivated, not necessarily out of love for me. And the same thing when I visited India, a lot of family members would visit. And I would ask, to myself, do they really love me or they want favor from me? I do all the favor possible. But I prefer, when I go back to India and when I visit, my hometown, Coimbatore or Bangalore, people who will love just for love's sake. You know, I always think about God. God, how many people love you for who you are? When I evaluate the prayers and the testimony, not the testimony here, you know, in my interaction when people talk about God, most of them seek God for benefits, for healing, for job, for financial breakthrough. You know, they follow God a lot of time, including myself, out of selfish motive. sometimes I may think I go to God because I want a job. I go to God because I want to be financially well off. Will God feel the same way I feel? I want people come to me the way, come to me just for me, not for the benefits. You know, when I was small, I used to hang around with my dad. My dad passed away in 97. Not because I wanted things from him, because even otherwise he would give to me. If I wanted clothes, he would give me. If I wanted some toys, he would give me. If I wanted to go somewhere, he would take me. But I wanted to go and be with my dad because he used to tell me a lot of stories. And, you know, it was just bonding. He would talk about hunting stories. And he would talk about stories about him going to court and talking to the judge and the lawyers. And it used to thrill me. And I used to go and I'm the youngest in my family. I would just go and, you know, all the time I would sleep with my dad because I wanted his presence. Not because he was giving money, not because he was giving me education, not because he was giving me all the benefits, because I want my dad. I miss him so much. My desire, and I finish the sermon, is this. We will, in this new year, seek our Father for who He is. We will not seek our Father out of selfish motive. There is a verse in Matthew chapter 6. The sermon is from the whole chapter, but I'm going to speak from Matthew 6:33. That is the specific verse. It says, "Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, this is a verse we all know very well. Jesus is dealing an issue in this passage. In the whole chapter of 6, He is dealing with an issue. The issue is, there are two issues. The first issue is this. The people He was addressing to were obsessed for accumulation of wealth and money. That we see in verse 19 and 24. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. And verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You know, an obsession for accumulation of wealth and money is highlighted by these two words. One is do not store up, the storing up. The other one is two masters. And the second issue Jesus is addressing here is this: preoccupation with material and physical needs. In verse 24 to 34, Jesus says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than your body?" You know, as you read this passage, I'm rushing because I need to finish by 5:50 in 5 more minutes. Jesus was addressing these two distinct issues. One, an obsession for wealth and money, and a preoccupation for material and wealth. That is also highlighted in the word worry. Worry is being split, always thinking about or preoccupied with. What shall I eat? Where shall I live? What shall I wear? What shall I drink? And Jesus was worried because Jesus tells in several places. This is, you know, he assures his disciples in several places in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. He says, "Your Father who sees in heaven will reward you." In verse 9, he says, "Your Father knows what you need even before it comes to you." In verse 18, he says, "Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And verse 26, he says, "Your heavenly Father feeds you." And verse 32, he says, "Your Father knows what you need." Exactly the same illustration. You know, my Father knew what I needed. He knew I needed clothes. He knew I needed shelter. He knew I needed food.
He knew what my needs are. I needed to know, go to my father for who he is. He tells me story. He helps me to be happy. And he is my father. I have a relationship with him. And Jesus is saying, don't be obsessed with materials and wealth. Don't be preoccupied with money and material things. Because all these things Father gives. That is why we call God our Father. And Jesus is saying, you can be healed of this. You know, when I look at the community who we are here, the community we represent, these are the issues. An obsession for wealth and material, preoccupation for money and positions. We are not really satisfied. Sometime if Jesus were to look at us, he would say, don't follow mammon, but follow me. Or Jesus would say, you cannot serve two masters. You have to choose, are you serving me or are you serving these materials which will not take you anywhere? And Jesus gives a remedy, that is according to Jesus. How does a healing take place from this obsession and preoccupation? That is my message for 2011. In this 2011, Heavenly Father should look at us and tell us stories about him. Heavenly Father should just come and just enjoy our presence, and we should enjoy his presence in our lives. We should not approach our Heavenly Father for material benefits, financial benefits, and social benefits. But we should approach our Father for who he is, because time and again in this chapter, Jesus said, our Heavenly Father will meet all these needs. In verse 33, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. That is what I would like to highlight today. According to Jesus, healing from obsession and preoccupation comes when we start seeking him continuously. The word seek is a continuous tense. It's a command. He says, you continuously seek the Father and his kingdom first. The word first is not a sequel. You know, you first seek Father, then you seek the world. He says, keep Father as your preeminent person. And his interests are your preeminent interests. In this new year, when we begin in few minutes, I think my time is running out. So in this few minutes, we have to really make a decision. Whatever happened in 2010 is fine. But 2011 is going to be a year I will turn around and I will change the dynamic of my relationship with the Father. And I'm going to do what Jesus did, which Jesus commanded, is seek first his kingdom. And all other things will be added to me. All other things, my material, my wealth, my obsession, need for money, house, drink, all of them, God will give it to me because he's my Father. Jesus is not against wealth. He is not against materials. But he is against our attitude with which we go after them. But this year, in 2011, let us decide that we are not going after them as an obsession, as a preoccupation. Instead, we are going to make a turnaround when we compare verse 33, seek first the kingdom, and the previous verses and succeeding verses. Jesus is contrasting two words, seek and worry. We are going to replace our worry for tomorrow, our worry for food, our worry for clothes with seek. We are going to seek God continuously in this 2011. And what does seek mean? How do we seek? When we seek, there is an effort. There is a determination. Every day, you get up in the morning. From January 1st, tomorrow, until December 31st, every day get up and ask God, how may I seek you? How may I seek you? You know, you seek after God. Sometimes seeking is not serving. Seeking is not giving. Seeking is not hosting a meeting in your house. Seeking is not singing in the choir or going and distributing. But seeking is going after God.
Let us decide this year that we are going to go after our Heavenly Father every day by searching the Scripture. Lord, what do I learn about you? Where can I find? God says, if you seek me, you will find me. When we find God, we have everything we need. Until we find God, we don't have all the materials that we go after. Now, all the things that we are obsessed about and preoccupied with, they will keep us empty and half glass, you know, not full. But from tomorrow onwards, let us just decide that we are going to seek after God. You know, I had to cut short my sermon, but I think I conveyed the message is this. 2011 will be a year. You and me, along with our family, we will seek God. It's very simple, going after Him. We will go after Him. You know, I have decided this year, once a month, I'm going to fast. Not to get a job, not to twist my God, not to get an answer, but I'm going to fast because I will be able to spend all my time seeking after Him. I'm going to search Scripture at least 3 days a week so that I will find more about my Father. And I will go after His interest. What all His interest? I don't know. I don't want to list a lot of interests. But you find out. He will tell you, this is my interest. But let this be your promise this year. Is seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All other things that we are seeking after, He will provide because He's our Heavenly Father. Now, it's 11:55. The countdown, we will start. In these 5 minutes, what we will do is, we will just quieten our hearts. We will not talk, and we will not look around. We will just pray. And we will wait on the Lord. We will ask, God, help me to seek you this year. I don't know what it entails, but you help me to seek you. Give me a passion in my heart to burn after you. And give me a determination to go after you. Let us do that. And 12 o'clock, I will come back again and we'll go from there. Hallelujah. You know, if you prefer to close your eyes, you can do that. If you want to kneel down, you can do that.
this new year, let's count down together, okay? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. May God bless us in this new year. And maybe you can take a few minutes, go around and greet one another, and we will assemble again to worship the Lord. Maybe you can just stand up and go around and wish everyone.
Happy New Year, Uncle.
Appreciate you so much.
Oh, no, no problem.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
I had a rush. I had a rush.
Yes, so sharp.
Happy New Year. Hello.
You the same. Thank you very much. You from Houston. Okay.
Wonderful.
It's so nice to see you. Thank you very much for coming. I'll visit with you at the end.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Happy
New Year. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll see you all at the end. Just go around with everyone.
Stacy, Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Why don't we all come together for just a quick song of praise for this new year.
Thank you.
crushing my heart with his love. Nothing on earth is beautiful as you. You open my eyes.
Please be seated. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord, as we saw in Matthew 6:33, that we will seek you this year continuously as the preeminent person, as the preeminent relationship, Lord. We are so grateful to you for bringing us to this new year. Lord, we begin this year with you. We pray that you will go before us, after us, and around us. And Lord, teach us, Heavenly Father, to follow you, never to go before you, and never to go away from you. Lord, you guide us from your word, and through your Holy Spirit, and also through your children, your ways, Heavenly Father. And everything that we do this year may bring glory, honor, and praises to your name. Lord, I pray on behalf of our friends and families who are present here this tonight. Pray that you bless them, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the things they have been praying and desiring for, you will grant to them this year. May they experience health, strength, peace, joy, happiness, prosperity, favor, and a wonderful relationship, restoration, spiritual edification, and everything that belongs to you will belong to all of us this year, Lord. Lord, we pray this year will be a year where we will come around you and we will just relate to you for who you are. We will not seek you for selfish reasons, but we will seek you for who you are because you are our Father and we are your children. And may we enjoy this wonderful relationship in this year, Lord. Everything we put our hands on, you will prosper. And Lord, everything that you help us to do, we pray that you will, Lord, you will give us a victory and success, Lord. Lord, those of us who are working, studying, and Lord, staying at home, you be with us. May we experience your presence in a very special way. Create in our hearts a deep passion and a desire for your word, for your testimony, Lord. And help us to do things that pleases you. And help us to go after your interest, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father. May this year be a year of God's amazing blessings in our lives. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen.